Welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast with Scott McKenzie. Scott is a passionate industry professional dedicated to transferring cutting-edge, industry-focused innovations and trends while highlighting the men and women who keep the world moving. So put on your hard hat, grab your work boots, and let's go.
All right, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast, another show that is dedicated to industry heroes. That's right, you. If you're out there on the old video, I'm pointing right at you. You're an industry hero because you are bold, you're brave, you dare greatly, you innovate, you're changing lives, you're changing the world, and you're solving problems. Did I leave anything else out? No, I don't think so. We are all, as an industry, bound together. We have these ties. Everybody is interlinked. That's why we must educate, collaborate, and definitely, you're an innovationist, so keep innovating out there because we depend on you. Hot seat, Industrial Talk hot seat. His name is Ricky Watts, and he is the Industrial Solutions Director with a small little company called Intel. You might have heard of them, but anyway, let's get cracking. We're going to be talking about Utility 2.0. Yeah, again, another utility conversation. You got to admit, I love geeking out about this whole utility stuff, but it's really becoming an interesting challenge to be able to manage supply, manage demand, and innovative people and innovative companies that constantly say this is better not just for the demand side, but better for the supply side. It is a brave new world, and this is a great conversation once again. And we're going to be talking about a number of things. Ricky's got some passion, big time. You're going to enjoy this conversation in a big, big way. Before we get into that conversation, I want to just remind you that industrialtalk.com is a platform where you can educate, where you can collaborate, where you can definitely work with the individuals to innovate, because we're innovationists. And if you don't think that we're not bound together, that we don't have ties in industry, all industries. If you're talking about utilities, yes, it has ties to manufacturing. If you're talking about manufacturing, yes, it has ties to reliability and supply chain. And how does that whole beautiful, network work? It requires that you educate, because everybody is just learning so much, and there's a lot of innovation going on out there that you just have to keep current. And that's what Industrial Talk is all about. Just go there. And if you see anybody you want to reach out to, do so, because they're putting themselves out there. They're looking at this world. They're very excited about what is happening and what's changing in it. All right, let's get with Ricky Watts. Again, Intel is the company. Ricky Watts is the individual, hot seat. His card is really pretty cool out there on LinkedIn. And it's funny to hear, just like we had the conversation with Dean, with Hitachi, there's just this level of excitement that exists with this innovation. And I know that Intel, Ricky, his team, and everybody there, they're looking at ways of being able to do that or bring the innovation to make, consumer, our lives. If I'm a business, our lives better. If I'm just a consumer and I flip the switch, our lives better. They are looking at the world through the lens of innovation, and I love it. It's a geek fest. Don't get me wrong. As a former journeyman transmission lineman, I love utilities. I love what I do. I love the people within industry. It just keeps on getting better. All right. Enjoy this conversation with Ricky Watts. Ricky, welcome to the Industrial Talk Podcast. Absolute honor that you found time, and you're a hard man to get a hold of. You are running and gunning there at Intel. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, my friend. And yourself?
Well, hey, thank you for asking. I'm doing well because I get to talk to you, and we get to talk about Utility 2.0. We get to do, and I'm going to geek out on this one. I am. I'm going to geek out. Listeners, we've been having a dandy conversation prior to this particular recording, and he brings the passion. There's no doubt about it. You're going to find out that Ricky brings the passion. All right, before we get into the Utility 2.0, Ricky, give us a little background, a little 411. I'm looking at your LinkedIn stat card. It's impressive. Give us a little background.
Okay. So, yeah. So, Ricky Watts, you can tell by my accent. I come from this little island outside of Europe there, or, you know, called the UK. But I'm living here over here in the US now, working with Intel, looking after the industrial solutions, what we call segment marketing. So I look after the markets within industrial, including utilities. So, and let me tell you about myself. So I spent 28 years on the road. I've lived in China. I've lived in India. I've lived in Europe. I've lived in 6 or 7 places in the US, Russia, Nigeria, Middle East, you name it. I've been there. So I came out of the telco world originally, was trained as a radio engineer, satellite broadcasting, moved into the software world. I've done many, many roles, was in South Africa for 5 years, you know, working on modernizing their comms infrastructure. But nowadays, I'm really focused on what we call, you know, these industrial segments in the utilities market. And what I'm trying to look at is, from an Intel perspective, there's a lot of technology that we talked about that's coming in, you know, around this utility 2.0.
Yeah.
How in Intel, and how can we bring these technologies together that really innovate, drive to the next level in terms of what we can do here? You know, the reuse of renewables in the manufacturing. How do we use power? How do we generate power? How do we understand the use of that power? All of those system level activities, bringing all of that together. And that's really one of the, you know, the passions that I got, is bringing all those pieces of my background together to help drive that.
In the utility space as a whole, very, very reluctant to change because they have a system that is pretty stable and very, we take it for granted here in the United States and in others, where when we flip that light switch on, it is on. What is driving the necessity for utilities to innovate and change?
Well, I think it comes from a few areas. You know, there's, if you look at it from the fact that the utilities are looking at how they're using power and how they're generating power. Okay, so those are the two things, the usage and the generation side of it. So
right.
Look at the generation side of it. We know that we're getting a lot more things on the renewable side coming, wind, solar. These renewable things that are coming in, microgrid technology, solar powers on people's roofs. There's a lot more places that were generating power than we did before, when it was generated at the central plant, you know, if it was nuclear or coal or gas or whatever. Now we've got power being generated everywhere. So they've got to be, how do they do that? How do they bring these things together? That's a challenge for them. You know, how do you distribute that power? That's a real big challenge for them as well. Then, of course, we've got the impact of governments, whether it's the US government, whether it's the EU government, doesn't matter. Governments around the world are saying, hey, one of these things we got to look at is this idea of climate change. You know, you hear it all the time, you know, and how are we affecting the planet and through the use of our power? So there's regulation that's coming that's driving change as well. The regulation's coming down. So we've got renewables coming in, which the utility companies want to tap into. They want to do it intelligently.
Yeah.
They've got government regulation coming. And then I go down to what is quiz, brass knuckles. Can I reduce my cost? And you know how important that is to utilities. You know, they're regulated. The way that they charge is very much driven by, you know, regulation. So they've got to look at how they can reduce their cost. So these 3 or 4 things that are going on is saying, hey, what I'm doing today, can it be done differently? Can it be done more cost effectively? Can it allow more flexibility? And can it reduce, you know, the use of carbons? Okay, so reduce carbon usage in the way that they use and consume power. So that's the technology that I think we've been working on in Intel, is looking at those things. How can we do that? And that's what you call that utility 2.0. So, and that's really about modernizing what I would call the utility infrastructure. And where I focus on, or where we've been focused on the team, is much more on what we would call the operational side, the control system side. You know, you talked about the idea that a socket, you know, I plug it in, power comes out. The systems that are doing that have been there and designed over many, many years. You know, I mean, it's a very reliable and robust infrastructure.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to modernize that, you better be sure you know what you're doing when you do that.
So, listeners, what I hear And I think that this is an interesting conversation from the perspective of Industry 2.0. Yep. The utilities as a whole have to really wrestle with multiple generation options. You know, they're just like these microgrids that exist out there. Yep. And that reality, unfortunately or fortunately or whatever you want to call it, is not going away, and it's going to be bigger. That's one. Yep. Two, there's a lot of pressure from a regulatory perspective. Governments, what are we doing? How do we manage climate? All of that good stuff is also impacting that utility. And of course, utilities are not that. I'm telling you, I'll be the first to admit, I don't want my power to go up. And therefore, the utilities are obligated to make sure that power is down. And then how do you take that soup of dynamics and be able to control it in such a way that delivers power to my house, me, because it's already, and others, and manufacturing in a stable way? Did I sort of summarize that up?
You did. You nailed it. So
you can use that on a bumper sticker. It's a bit lengthy, but you can use it on a bumper sticker. Go right ahead.
Yeah. Let's hope I don't bump into you while I'm reading your bumper.
Yeah, you're going to run into something because it's too long.
but your point is very valid. So, and let's try and break this down. So, you know, the most difficult task really is that those systems that you talked about that are out there today that are, you know, involved in the distribution of power. So we've been looking at the substation market. Mm-hmm. You know, substations are absolutely critical in the distribution of power. You know, they're very complicated. They've got a lot of legacy systems in them. They've got a lot of operational systems. What we're working on inside Intel is we want to modernize that infrastructure, and we want to modernize it on a modern compute platform. You can take these things, these applications that are running in this environment. The manual part stays the manual part, but the systems that operate and run it and look after those that are what we would call legacy appliance, they sit on an old piece of equipment. We can now modernize that and put it into a modern type of compute architecture. Now, it takes time to do that. You've got to make sure it's safe. You've got to make sure it's secure. You've got to make sure it complies to the standards. You know, and ultimately, the most important thing is any new technology should never result in you making things worse than they were before. It must improve, okay? Don't go back.
You want to shut initiative down, make it worse. And I guarantee you people will just... Yeah, yeah. They're coming after you.
Exactly. So you start there. So we've been building that. We've been working with utility companies on this modern compute infrastructure, taking those legacy systems, moving them onto a modern compute infrastructure. Yeah. And you talk about utility 2.0. Why is that important? If you do not get those systems modernized, you will never truly be able to get to the next level. Because you cannot bring in new technologies such as AI. You can't bring in new technologies that are going to put the connectivity. You're not going to be able to upgrade and add in new services. You're not going to be able to innovate at the level that you want on the usage. You talked about the usage. You know, if I'm going to look at usage, how I'm intelligently using power, well, the word intelligently comes in. Well, what does that mean? I need to look at data. I need to analyze how I'm using something. Am I using it efficiently? Are my systems using it at the right time? Can I match the usage of my power maybe to when I've got a renewable that's generating, hey, the sun's shining really well today. Therefore, I'm generating maybe more electricity from renewables. Could I map that to somehow at the factory end that the guy can up his production at that time? I know it sounds kind of like Star Trek-y, but that's a reality. What's what intelligence is? And you need a platform that can host those systems, allow renewables to be very flexible in terms of the way that they come in, and then map that to the usage on the other side. And that's that kind of what I would call that common platform of the substation that allows to connect the control systems with what I were going to call the evolution of these intelligent systems on the usage side as well. So, you know, when you talk about utility 2.0, number one thing, let's start looking at modernization. As we modernize, can we do the basics? Keep it running, keep it safe, keep it secure. Hey, I can lower the cost as well, by the way. This is a lot cheaper. These 26 boxes that you are paying for, we can now put them on one box. Cheaper, smaller, less power. Now we've got that, then we can start to sort of do some of the other things. So again, we're on a journey. Absolutely. This scene doesn't, as you say, I don't switch off the lights on a Friday night and Monday morning the world has changed. It's not like that. But we definitely on the journey.
Yeah. You didn't reboot it?
Yeah, we're done. We're finished. We're all good now.
You know? No, you didn't. Thank God you didn't reboot it.
You got Jarvis coming out of your socket there, you know.
right. What is interesting from to point out is that you bring up a good point about the necessity to truly modernize. The realities in the marketplace, specifically within the utility area, is that these generation sources are not going away. The necessity to be able to manage that demand side, and it is really a data-driven solution. Can I incrementalize it? My approach is like take a substation over here. It's a substation, and then approach it from your perspective.
Yeah, I actually think, I mean, there's two ways to do that. You know, I'm not saying you just throw everything away. I mean, you know, the stuff out there that works, you know. So what you do is you look at your infrastructure and you start modernizing it incrementally, bringing new things. Yeah. So I always say, you know, again, firstly, you've got to go through a lot of testing and proving and make sure, as I say, you comply. Then you look at your substations, you say, okay, so where can I start on this journey? How do I do this? Okay. So you can bring in a substation. So yeah, this concept, and you've probably heard of it before, brownfield, greenfield.
Oh,
I'm not saying that you have to rip and replace everything in one go. Like, oh, let's take the whole grid and shut it down. And then, you know, hey, give us a year. We'll turn the grid on next year. And we'll all be good to go. Okay. It's going to be incremental. So you're bringing in, we work with the utilities. We install the platform. We start with the simple stuff first, less intrusive stuff, you know, that's in the substation. Maybe some of the lesser critical things. We don't want to check protection relays yet. Maybe just some of the distribution stuff. We start bringing that in. And then what you do is you start a migration path of these services bit by bit. In the back end, what you want to do is make sure with your control systems environment, are all systems green? Is everything working okay? I need it to be easy and consumable. So the system technology that's at the back end that says, hey, you know, I can now see a new computer screen with new things that are going on. I can compare that with my legacy. We need that fusion of what I would call, hey, those are old systems and those new systems. So, and you'll start moving them across one by one. So yeah, incrementally, we'll look at the systems and the technology in the substation, move it slowly across, and eventually you'll get to, you know, sometime in the future, you know, a platform that really, I suppose, has replaced all of those legacy assets. You know, from a compute environment, all the compute control stuff that we're looking at, there'll be system level control that goes not just back to control systems, but, you know, technology to interface to that as well. You know, not just for the utility company, but for the people that are using the power as well. So, you know, that management aspect that we talk about, that orchestration system needs to come both ways. I, as a user, need to understand what I'm doing. So I want to have some understanding of what's going on. A company like PG&E, Florida Light and Power, Iberdrola, these companies, they want to manage and understand their grid as well from a generation perspective. Am I doing the right things? Am I doing it safe? So you're going to see control in a way go two directions. It's going to go to the end user, and it's also going to go maintain its, you know, with the generator as well, or the utility company that's doing it. Because I think that's important. If you truly want to innovate, me and you as users have got to understand what we're doing, our impact, where it's coming from. I mean, wouldn't you like to know when you're doing something today, where's that power coming from? Is it coming from renewables? Is it coming from nuclear? Is it coming from coal? You know, because now, you know, we say to ourselves, well, I didn't care, the socket's on. Well, you know, it'd be kind of nice to know that, well, if I did it, the things I want to do, I don't know, as a user, simple stuff. If I switch the washing machine on in the afternoon, I use renewable power. So my impact on the environment's reduced. If I do it in the middle of the night, simple example, I'm going to use power that's being generated from gas. So my carbon footprint goes up. So I always think yes, I'm geeky or whatever, but I like the idea that if I think of the younger generation now that are very aware of these things, giving them that information, allowing them to innovate with those systems as well. So again, incremental change, very safe, very secure, modernization of the systems in a very, you know, controlled way. Once you get that and you start to accelerate, and you'll see that accelerate as we see in the need for, you know, new systems coming in, you'll be able to innovate new services. I mean, there was a fascinating thing. I believe in the telco world, it used to take about 18 months for a new service to come in, okay?
I just got to step in. It seems like everything takes 18 months. Come on. Yeah. You know, every project, you know, you've been on it. It's about 18 months to deployment. It's like everything. Deployment. Anyway,
yeah. But I love it. It's funny. It used to be 18 months. But it used to be about 18 months for a service to be generated, a new service in the telco world, prior to the modernization of the infrastructure.
Wow.
Now they can bring in new services. My understanding is in the 15 to 30 minutes. Think about that. I've got a new idea. I want a new service. And, okay, in the telco world, you could argue, well, I've got a new app or something like that. It doesn't matter. In the, if you think about the utilities and utility 2.0, I don't know what those services and those applications are, but if I want to change something and I want to do something, if an idea takes 18 months to implement, that's an awful long time for impact. Yeah. So this technology transformation is going to allow many different things to happen. Again, I'm going a bit off in the future.
No, but you're absolutely right. You're talking about speed to realization, right? You're compressing that time, which is just super important. And it sounds like you're saying, I'm going to remove the roadblocks. I'm going to remove the friction and I'm going to make it as easy as possible. So nobody has an excuse.
Yeah, exactly. That's the journey I think we're on.
Yeah.
You know, I think we'd start off with the basics, safe, secure, reliable, high performance. We modernize the compute platforms to do that. We reduce the cost of doing that for the utility companies. If we reduce their cost, that gives them more opportunity to innovate. I mean, we always know if I'm saving money, I'm more likely to continue to do something, you know, bottom line.
Absolutely. Bottom line.
It's important.
I agree with you on that.
So if you're looking at that transformation, and you know what it's like, there's a trust factor in any new system, especially in utilities. You know, the engineers and the people that run those systems, they've been doing it for a long time. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. You know, so when they see innovation, they're going to be very cautious. But when we reach the tipping point where the trust levels of that innovation have passed the point of this stuff works, it meets absolutely all the requirements. It meets the safety standards. It meets the security standards. Once they get that level of trust and you start to see it, I think what you're going to see is you're going to see that ramp curve, that evolution go really, really quickly. And I think we're probably a little way away from it now in terms of that curve moving up, but we're a lot closer than we were 2 or 3 years ago.
And I think you and others within Intel and what you're trying to do requires an education. You're looking at an industry that has been very successful at delivering quality power for a long time.
Yeah,
and there is that need to educate, and I think you guys are doing a good job at that. And this conversation is always necessary, and it just takes time for people to consume it. Let me ask you this. Is this really, I mean, come on, let's be truthful here. Is this pie in the sky, or is this doable stuff?
It's doable stuff. It really is doable stuff. I mean, you know, I've been working at this for a long time with my team. I've been working, you know, looking at many systems, the interaction of these systems, AI, you know, modernization of grid infrastructure. It is really doable. It works. It does what it says it does on the tin, you know. So we're proving it. We're making sure, to your point, about training and educating and gaining that trust.
Yeah.
You know, we're not doing this without going through a lot of work with the utilities companies to make sure that they are absolutely on top of this. They understand it. They agree with you. It meets their requirements, all the stuff that they need to do.
And but I imagine that you're not just operating in a vacuum. You're not just sitting there going, hey, we're around this water cooler and we're drinking our own Kool-Aid. No, you're incorporated and you're bringing in, from a collaborative perspective, the professionals that are out there in the utility market, correct?
Yeah. We're working with the utility companies. We're working with the supplier community as well. One of the things that Intel does really well is, obviously, we built this thing called a chip. you know, we were
a compute platform. What? You know? What do you guys do?
A little bit of sound, you know, that we come into that, you know. But, you know, what we do is, and, you know, Intel does this really, really well, is that what they do is they build from that upwards. They say, hey, here's the compute platform. And they work with the ecosystem. So, and a utility would be an end user. But there's system integrators that need to be involved, companies like Black and Veatch and people like that.
Yes.
There are other suppliers like ABB and Siemens and Schneider's. We need to work with those guys as well. So it's not just about Intel and what we're doing. It's about this entire community evolving. Hitachi, these companies like that, they're innovating. So they're innovating at the same pace that we're innovating. So by working together with them, so not only working with the utilities company to show the architectures that can work, showing the compute platforms that can work, working with companies, Dell, who provide platforms, companies like VMware that provide software platforms that are optimized on Intel, that run the workloads, ABB, Siemens, system integrators, supply companies. We need to work with the entire value chain on this transformation as well. It's not just about Intel. It's not just about the utility. Yeah. It's about everybody in that value chain, you know? And that is critical to us. And again, so we work with our partners. We innovate. We show what can be done. We keep innovating. We look at the performance metrics. We work with those companies. And ultimately, what we do is we build a system of partners and ecosystem that deliver to what the utility is going to need. Because the utility's got to go back into its supplier and say, okay, I love what you're doing. Where do I get it from? I want it. Right. So you've got to make sure that, okay, I had a great thing, but it's just in a lab, you know?
That's a good point.
You can't buy it. We got to make sure.
That is a good point. That is. I like the fact that you were talking about that value chain. I'm not sure. I just, what's interesting, and maybe I could be completely wrong, is I see more companies willing to collaborate and take that little, and take a little slice of that pie, but and work with people such as Intel and so on to come up with a solution that truly is beneficial to the end user, me, the manufacturer, the whatever it might be. I'm just finding it more and more each and every day.
Yeah, no, I would agree. You know, we're all people. I mean, I know, look, we're all companies. We're all run on profit and loss and things like that. I'm not saying that you throw the baby out with the bathwater. Everybody wants to be competitive.
Well, yeah.
But you know what I found in this, when I have these discussions, whether they're with government people, whether they're with utility companies and partners, whether they're with my family and friends, there's a genuine desire these days to be aware of what we're doing around the planet. And I know it sounds cliche, but you get that in every company that I'm aware of has this, Intel has this thing called RISE, which is really, you know, our impact on the environment. We call it the RISE strategy. You know, we want to be looking at renewables, sustainability, real key values. Most other companies I mentioned before, whether it's ABB, Siemens, Schneider, they all have the same values as well. Yeah. You know, we're as much responsible for the profit and loss of our companies and our company's success, but we're also within those companies, we're becoming very aware. So when you talk about that partnership and that collaboration, yeah, of course, we all want to be competitive, absolutely. But ultimately, we all want to work together. And the reasons we want to work together is because I think you're seeing this aligned goal that comes for all companies in that value chain. That's even to the end users. I mean, I want to be aware of what impact I'm having on the environment equally as much as I want the companies that I buy services and goods from to be aware of that as well. So I think that responsibility coming in, that enhances that collaboration. Again, absolutely. I know that companies that we work with are going to want to be competitive. They want to say, hey, you know, my widget's slightly better than the other guys. But collectively, we are all working towards bringing that utility 2.0 through. You know, we need everybody on board working that. We need the utilities companies. We need governments. We need supplier community, all of us working together. And again, I've seen, you know, I've worked collaboratively in Europe, in the Americas, in Asia Pacific as well. Everywhere I see a genuine way of working wherever you are. So yeah, I'm seeing that kind of help create that kind of momentum, as I call it, and keep moving forward. So yeah, collaboratively with respect, but also maintaining competitive as well, which is what you want. You need competitiveness. You innovate through being competitive as well.
Amen to that. That's a whole nother conversation. You're spot on that one, big time. All right. We're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately, Ricky.
I love this conversation.
I agree with you 100%. Hey, are you active out there on LinkedIn?
I am, yeah. You can see my LinkedIn profile on there, Ricky Watts. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, anybody wants to reach out to me, please do. Happy to talk to anybody. I've got a team that's working in this area. So, as I say, you can see it's my passion. As much as it is, I work within the company, we've got bad deliverables, but I am really passionate about this utility 2.0 concept. I actually think it's just, to me, it is one of the greatest evolutions that I think I'll ever be witness to in my lifetime.
I agree.
I'm in it for the 100%. Ride,
I agree with you 100%. It's really an exciting time, and it is bringing some of the best and innovative companies together to solve real challenges and opportunities for me, a consumer. And I like that. There's nothing I can argue about that.
It is. It's going to be great for you. It's going to be great for our kids and our grandkids. Yeah. As I say, I'm passionate about it. My grandfather, it makes it important to me. So yeah, anybody would like to reach out to me, find out what we're doing in Intel and my team is doing, please do. Happy to be part of the podcast today. Thanks for the opportunity to talk to you and to talk to your listeners.
Now, listeners, that was a dead freaking sexy conversation. I enjoyed it. You're gonna say, Scott, I need more time to get that contact information. Fear not. We're gonna wrap it up on the other side. I'm gonna have all of that information on Ricky's podcast out on industrialtalk.com. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
You're listening to the Industrial Talk Podcast Network.
What did I tell you? Ricky, thank you very much for being on the Industrial Talk Podcast, sharing your utility, your insights into how to just make that whole grid more modern, pushing the envelope. Really just love what's taking place in your team and Intel and the desire to be truly innovative when it comes to the utility space, supply and demand, all of the good stuff that's associated with it. All right, reminder, got to go out to industrialtalk.com. Industrialtalk.com is where you're going to be able to educate, collaborate, and definitely innovate with people like Ricky, his team, Intel, everything else. They want to connect. Go to industrialtalk.com, find out more, because I'm telling you right now, you will not be disappointed with that Ricky guy. All right. As a reminder, be bold, be brave, dare greatly. Yes. Reach out to people that are bold, brave, and daring greatly. And you know what you're going to do? Change the world. That's what we're all about. Thank you very much for joining the Industrial Talk Podcast. We're going to have another great interview right around the corner. Stay tuned.